passage comes from Luke 24, 36 to 49. And the sermon is entitled, The Lord of Our Body, Our Soul, and Our Mind. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, Peace be with you. They were startled and frightened, thinking that they had saw a ghost. He said to them, Why are you troubled, and why do doubts arise in your minds? Look at my hands, look at my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still did not believe it because of their joy and amazement, he asked them, Do you have anything to eat? They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and he ate it in their presence. He said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Thus far, the reading of God's word. Amen. Amen. This past week, we heard and saw the disaster that happened as the Baltimore Bridge collapsed into the river like dominoes in the water. It was a shocking sight. I couldn't believe how that ship came and just hit that, and it just, nobody would have anticipated it would have collapsed like that. It was shocking. It reminded me of 9/11 when those planes hit those two tall buildings, the Twin Towers. Nobody would have anticipated that they would have collapsed to the ground shortly afterwards. But it happened. That event was a defining event, not only for America, but it changed the decisions, the policies, and by association, of all Western countries going forward, including our own. Things changed revolving around immigration, security, privacy. It put a lot more fear in the hearts of people, made traveling altogether different after that event. On the human level, those tragic events causes a physical and psychological chaos that's really hard to recover from. Still today, the effects of from the first responders and survivors, there's still effects of lung issues and trauma and psychological issues through those events. This past Friday, we remembered and we reflected on a defining event, the defining event of our faith, the tragic crucifixion of our Lord Jesus, God's own Son. In the present moment when it happened, everybody was talking about it. Just after 9/11, I mean, that's everything was revolving around that. I'm sure in Baltimore this week, everything was revolving. Why did this happen? How could this have happened? So too, when Jesus was crucified, that's what happened. The enemies, they were having their victory party. The devil was laughing, thinking he won. But for the disciples, for the followers of Jesus, it was crushing. Really, it messed up their thinking. It caused anxiety and confusion. There was even denial and betrayal. They couldn't wrap their minds around what had happened, no matter how often Jesus showed them that what he did was going to take place. He kept having to say it over and over again. Now, Jesus would have seen a lot of crucifixions in his day, growing up in Galilee. I believe when he was a boy, there was 2,000 crucifixions that happened about 4 or 5 miles from his hometown. You see, the Romans used that method to incite fear, to keep people in line. People who were pirates, slaves, or those who had no civil rights, they were the first to be crucified along with political and religious agitators. They're the ones who faced the cross. So Jesus lived under the shadow of the cross while he was here on earth. But the beginning to the answer of Good Friday, to that tragic event for the followers of Jesus, was when he appeared to them in that locked room. Things were beginning to change. Jesus, as you read the story before that, just recently vanished after revealing the scriptures to the two men who were on the road to Emmaus. They didn't really recognize him, but he started with Moses, and all the way through he explained what was going to happen. They were still kind of bewildered, didn't know what was going on, invited them into their home, and as Jesus broke bread, their eyes were open. And then Jesus vanished. And those two men ran to that room to go let the other disciples know. I think it's about a 7-mile walk, and I'm sure they ran. They had to have been tired out by the time that they got there. And so there they are in that locked room. They're in disbelief. They're bewildered. There's an open tomb. A massive rock is rolled away, and it usually was hung with a rope with a Roman seal. You just didn't move that thing. There's grave clothes are neatly wrapped. From his body and his head, there's two men dressed in white saying, Why look for the living among the dead, they say to them. So now, Jerusalem's in an uproar. The followers of Jesus are afraid that the Jews are going to blame them for stealing Jesus' body. They're worried they're going to endure the same fate, another crucifixion. Like 9/11 or the Baltimore Bridge collapse, the story of an empty tomb is confounding the community, and especially the followers of Jesus who cared so much for him. How can this happen? How can this happen? But it did. It did. When Jesus appeared to them in that room, it wasn't just spiritual. It was his mind, body, and soul, showing that he overcame the tragic event of the crucifixion so his disciples, his followers, and us today could have a new beginning. A new beginning in life, a new lease on life. Well, first, I just wanted to share, as I go through this, just some interesting facts about the resurrection. And then we'll see how his physical resurrection helps inform us to transform our minds and also our bodies, because now our heart is transformed by the resurrected Jesus. So here's just some interesting facts that I learned. First, for Jesus to be buried and put in a rich man's tomb was actually very unusual. It didn't happen. When you died by crucifixion, they took the bodies down, threw them in a scrap pile, and wild dogs and animals would come and feast on the bodies. That's just what happened. So that was very different. And it was predicted 700 years prior before it happened in Isaiah 52:9. It was predicted that Jesus would be laid in a rich man's tomb. Second, God had ordained that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, who belonged to the sects of the Sanhedrin, the same groups who crucified Jesus or called for his crucifixion, that they would secretly believe in Jesus and they'd be able to help secure his body and be able to lay the body of Jesus in Joseph's own tomb. He gave up his own tomb for Jesus. You know, but Jesus just needed to borrow it for 3 days. Third, the empty tomb is not disputed by hardly anyone. Even secular scholars cannot deny it. The silliness of writing the facts in this way really showed that it was God that was at work. Think about it. The Roman guards fainting. The Romans wouldn't have made up that story. The women, they were the first to testify that Jesus had. You never believe the testimony of a woman. It didn't happen. And yet that's how the story is displayed for us. to have enough people to move that stone and have the leverage without the guards not seeing it can never happen. It was brave if somebody came and made that happen, but it was really impossible. And that's how the story is written down for us. Fourth, if Jesus was only raised in spirit, his earthly body would still be there. But the amount of people that he revealed himself to afterwards, I think over 500. And then the transformed lives that came outside of that, people willing to die a horrible death for the sake of the truth, showed that this had to be true. 300 prophecies written over a 450-year period, centuries before Jesus was born. That was not a coincidence. That was the hand of God. So how does this defining event of the resurrection, from disaster to new beginning, change our mind and also our will? And I'm going to refer to our will as our body. Our body that sort of the output is what we say, what we do, where we go. So our minds and our bodies. Well, the first thing when it comes to our minds, Jesus shows up. He knew that they would be afraid, knowing that they would think that they saw a ghost. That happened on the water when Jesus was walking. They were afraid. They thought they saw a ghost. So Jesus shows up and he says, what? Peace be with you. How many times in Scripture does Jesus say this to his followers? He doesn't say it once. He says it many times. You see, Jesus alone understands how important our minds are, because he himself had his own mind, his own associations, probably his own personality. He had his friendships. He had his inner circle. He had the experience with the crucifixion. And yet Jesus wasn't tainted with sin. But after Pentecost, we know that when he sent the Holy Spirit, that now Jesus Christ could be intimate with each and every one of us. You see, he lives within us. Peace be with you. Don't doubt. I have given everything that you need. And when you think about the mind, and you think about our thoughts, it's kind of one area, if you think about it, that we can monitor. We can kind of process. We can actually step back from our thoughts and say, you know, an awfully negative today, or I've had a good day. You know that you feel fear. You know that particular thought about a particular person, that you know it's wrong. And that's the Holy Spirit, that's our soul informing our thoughts. We do have to get our thoughts under control, and that takes time. I like to think of our thoughts as kind of the software system. The body's kind of the hardware system. But when we pass from time to eternity, from earth to heaven, we will still maintain our memories and our personalities, just as Jesus Christ did. Our mind kind of straddles the two. And yet when we pass over, we won't be tainted with sin anymore. So the resurrection of Jesus invites us to be renewed in our minds by living in the present moment. So really, it does take a lot of work. There's a lot of complex pieces at play, and everyone has a different story. And it's important to know that when you come alongside someone who is suffering kind of with maybe brain problem, mind problem, a thought problem, you need to separate that from their faith. Because if that person believes in Jesus Christ, that he died for their sins, and believe that he rose again from the grave, and believes that he lives in their heart, but they're still wrestling with their mind, and they can't get it under control, and they have these thoughts, well, it shows that there's work to be done. And there might be medicines, there might be doctors, there might be therapy to be able to kind of help transform and renew our mind. It's no different than our bodies when we go to the doctor to have a doctor look at it. It's no different. We need to be careful. But Jesus Christ still remains the same. And he's calling us to live in the present moment and to have his mind and be transformed, but also to be patient with one another as others struggle. When I look at the story, it actually takes a long time for the disciples and the followers to finally get it. Jesus even showed up physically, and they still couldn't quite get that that was Jesus Christ, even physically. So it's going to be difficult for many as well. But we continue to try not to doubt. We continue to receive his peace. We continue to be careful as we use our minds, that we don't fall into that trap of what I like to think of paralysis by analysis, not overanalyzing our faith. That simple belief is often the best. Or I heard another one the other day, compare and despair, right? When you compare yourself, your faith with other people, you can begin to despair. No, our call is to focus on Jesus, to focus on the present moment. There's just a couple pieces of application with this. Be careful when we walk alongside those who suffer, Christians who suffer, that we don't put on more guilt on them. To make a statement like, are you praying? Are you reading your Bible? Yeah, everything happens for a reason. That could be very hurtful if you're not in a deep relationship with them. It's often not the right thing to say. We need to take the time to be the body in the presence of Jesus for those who struggle. The best thing to do is to ask, how are you doing today? And then be willing to listen and be willing to follow up. The other thing is to be able to sit with somebody and actually say, yeah, this sucks. This sucks. And put your hand on them and then follow up with them later on. Show that you really, really care. And it's okay to say, I don't understand. So listen and learn and try to understand. But in the end, know that the resurrection of Jesus Christ still invites us to renew our minds as we encourage others to do the same. And as we continue to focus on Jesus and what is good in this present moment. The next part. How does the resurrection of Jesus inform our will or inform our body? Well, if the mind's a software, I kind of think of the body as the hardware. The body is what speaks, it's what moves, it's what goes places. We get all kinds of thoughts in our mind that we know aren't right, that we get confused about. But really, when we act, that's kind of when sin begins to grow, right? And so the two do work in tandem. So in this story, Jesus says to those, he says, does a ghost have flesh and blood and bones like I have? I'm the same person you knew before. So as if Jesus could have kept on and he could have said, you know, I'm the same size. Look at, I have the same color eyes. I have the same voice. Look at my hands. Look at my feet. See the holes in them. I was crucified, but here I am. And I can eat this fish like I did with you many times before. It's often why we have and celebrate the Lord's Supper. We have that physical meal of eating bread and drinking that juice because it testifies that Jesus was crucified in body, but he was also raised in body, mind, and spirit. Resurrection of Jesus in body highlights the continued importance of our own bodies. Jesus had one too. When we get to heaven, forget dancing on clouds and being all mystical. And no, it will be a real physical place with colors and sounds and sights that are far brighter and crisper than our best day here on earth. Because there we will see clearly. There will be no more sin. We will have a celebration where there will be food, maybe broiled fish and a whole lot more. But we will sing and we will dance. Jesus himself was fond of going to parties, and even he helped make one party a little bit better. We know the story. As it is in our control, though, his resurrection compels us to take care of our bodies. through good nutrition, exercise, rest, and to go to the doctors when we need to go. Because as long as we're here, our call is to continually allow God to use our bodies. To what? To fight for justice. To work to end hunger and homelessness. To alleviate suffering where we can. All doing it while living in the present moment in our present bodies. We are the presence of Jesus to each other and to the community. To be his hands and to be his feet. I was talking to someone today who preached the gospel. She always felt herself to be very unworthy. But she did, and it was later on that a man found her in Tim Hortons and said, "Are you a preacher?" She was a little bit nervous, like, "Why is this person calling me out?" But he came up to her and he said, "Thank you for what you did when you shared the gospel, what you preached. I stopped drinking when you declared your message. God worked through your words into my life." It deeply impacted her to be able to know that she can be used of God. We each can be used of God. We are his hands, his feet, his spirit lives within us. So it might not seem like you're accomplishing much. Two steps forward, three steps back, sometimes it seems. But know that God is using a different rubric system in grading the world. Titles are important. Degrees are important. We use them, right, to be able to do the job that he's called us to do. But really, it's those private acts that God is looking at. Those kind words, that giving without expecting to be repaid. That sacrifice to go and visit, spend time listening to others. That picking up a piece of trash without being noticed and putting it into the trash can. That year after year of faithful service to the church without complaining. That's the grading system that God is using. And so the resurrection of the body of Jesus shows that our bodies are not bad, but they're vessels that we live in for a time. Someday these bodies will be recalled. They will be junked. They will be. But when we get to heaven, we're going to have the same model and the same make. We're going to have the same height, the same color hair, the same color eyes, just as Jesus did when he was resurrected. He was seen for who he was. And we will too know that. We will be raised with new bodies. We'll be recognized in heaven just as we were recognized here on earth. Yet we will be free from sin's temptation. So finally, our own story, the resurrection story is the foundation of our faith, the cornerstone of our hope, and the love of our lives. It's not just a spiritual event, but it's a physical one. If we only spiritualize it, we may have comfort, but we're going to miss out on the full truth of the gospel. And so the resurrection of our Lord Jesus calls us to truly live in the present moment. We can call the worship team to come forward. The resurrection of our Lord Jesus calls us to truly be present in the present moment, in our minds and in our bodies, because we know that our souls have been redeemed by Jesus Christ. Our sins have been forgiven at the cross, but our lives find their purpose and power at the resurrection. We all fear death. But the resurrection invites us to see that the truth that our present moment, our resurrected moment, is the point that will touch eternity. There, time will stop, and we will finally be with Jesus. And we can be assured that it's not only our spirits, but also our minds and our bodies that will continue with Jesus for all eternity. Amen.